Okay, today's Daf Lama Dalet. We're on Lama Gimel Aveis, just one Ha'ara. I thank Menachem for bringing in the Codex Judaica, Chronological Index of Jewish History, which points out that the Savaroim, the late Amoraim, were the ones that made the different parts in the Gemara about where the quotes of the Mishnah are and where the Gemara spoke about the parts of the Mishnah. So, Mamela, I guess the two dots flowed from there. The actual two dots, maybe we'll later, but where the breaks of the Mishnah and where the Gemara was going to talk about it, that was made by the Sefaroim, so that connected to a little bit what we brought up yesterday about with when the two dots came. Okay, let's continue now. Lama Gimel Mabez, a lot to do today. A lot to do. Umagabiv Menachotzer, Lama Gimel Mabez, Tanur Rabbanan, 10 lines up from the bottom. The Mishnah had said that one is allowed to gather from the chatzer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, gather from the chatzer in order to use for firewood or to use for floss to get something out from between his teeth. The Rabbi Eliezer said yes, and the Chachamim say only if it's right in front of him. So the Tanakhama here says that you're allowed to gather from the entire chatzar, because everything in the chatzar is prepared, is muchan. As long as you don't make piles when you bring it in. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon allows it. The Maikim is thinking, what's this machlokas about? Mar Savar Mechzi to come Michnif Lamachar, Uliyoma Achrina. The second opinion says you're not allowed to do this because it appears as if you are gathering a large amount, not for today, not for Yantif. The Mar Savar, Kateyrasa Buchachazalav. The other opinion says, no. Everybody sees that you're running out of your kitchen, you're really cooking, you just need firewood, and therefore even making piles would be okay. Why isn't there any issue of Ma'amer, Daraisa? This is all about Mechzi. So the Ran here, just what Tosis did on Daf Laman Aleph, the Ran proves here. And that is, Ein Imur Ela B'makom Gidulo, and this is not B'makom Gidulo, not the place where it grew, and therefore there is no Imur. So the Ran says it here, Tosis said it earlier on Daf Laman Aleph. Next, Emotzi and Esaor, the Mishnah had said that we don't light fires on Yantif from any source, from wood, from stones. We don't make a fire on Yantif. My time up. Why not? Why don't we make a fire on Yantif? Right? We know many malachas are mutter mishum achol nefesh, and all of a sudden we know that we don't make any new fire on Yantif. All we do is to be marbe fire. If we have a flame on, we make it bigger. If we have one candle, we go to another candle. But, you know, why don't we make fires on Yantif? Says the Gemara, mishum to kamolid be Yantif. Because fire is being molid on Yantif. What exactly does that mean? That you're being molded on Yantif. So there are a number of interpretations. First of all, we have to remember a Rashi that we discussed back in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Nun Aleph from Abayis, where Rashi said, don't confuse molid and nolad. Nolad is something that's muksa, that it wasn't there before and now is there now. That's the issue of muksa. Molid is the hifil, that's not nolad. Molid is a derabanan, that it appears that you are creating something. Rashi says there in the sugya of Ein Marazkin Sheleg, squeezing out snow in order to get it into water, crushing the ice. Rashi there says, Mishum dekam molid b'shabes, v'dami l'melacha, shebore hamayim ha'elu. You're not allowed to be a bore on Shabbos or Yantif. And therefore, molid, this goes over regular heter ocha nefesh, and therefore, says Rashi, that's the pshat of the Gemara. It's molid. Molid is are you are creating a fire, and that's why it's a problem. There's the stipler, hopefully the first of two stiplers today, the stipler on this Rashi, in Maseches Beis, explains that, still, why isn't it in the heter ocha nefesh? So what, it's molid. All other malachas are also pretty extreme malachas, and they're also allowed because of ochal nefesh. Why is molad worse? So he quotes a Ramban. He quotes a Ramban in the beginning of Ein Sod, in the beginning of the third parak, where the Ramban says that, again, based on what he says in the Torah, what does the Torah say? Kol melechas avoda lo sasu. On Yantif, melechas avoda is not allowed. Melechas hanah is allowed. Cooking is usually called in the category malachas hanah, not melechas avoda. But the Ramban also has the following line. Malachas, this is the stipler's quote, explanation of the Ramban. Malachas ochal nefesh yitira Torah eino ela bedavar shegam lefnei malachazu yesh lo davar zeh bershuso ela shechaser tikun aval bedavar shelefnei amalacha eino matzui klal biyado v'hu bala hamsi la'atzmo guf hadavar zeh me'inyim malachas avoda. Malachas hanah means you have something and you're fixing it up and you're making it ready to be eaten. You're making it ready for you to get pleasure from. Malachas hanah. But something that's not there that you are creating, Ramban says that about sud. Maybe where we had all the different interpretations on Daf Chaf Gimel. Why sud ain't sudden? Why ain't sudden on Yantif? Is it a heter ochel nefesh? So Rashi says you could have done it before Yantif and other interpretations. Ramban there says because that's like a bria. You didn't have the animal at all, and now you're getting the animal. That's like a bria. That's like being borei, and that's not included in the heter of ochel nefesh. That's called melechas avoda. That's not called melechas hana. So the stipler says so to here. That's why molad is a problem. You're creating. Creating is not allowed on Yantif. Only fixing and being misakein what you already have. So number one pshat and molid is you're creating a new item. When the Rambam and the Ravid discuss this Gemara, they seem to give two other pshatim of what this Gemara means. Molid. First, the Ravid. The Ravid seems to connect molid and nolad. Right? Even though Rashi emphasizes that molid is something else, the Ravid here seems to say it's a muksa issue. That's why you can't be molid, because when he talks about the Rambam gives a different pshat, and the Ravid says, what do you mean? V'yomar mibneishu molid. Why didn't the Rambam say molid? That's what the Gemara says. V'ein kan hachana. He adds that line. And after all, there's no hachana here. And he's connecting it to muksa. So the Magen Mishnah points out. What do you mean? No molid, no lad. They're two different things. But the Ravid thinks that molid means nolan. That's the second shot what molid means. You can't make a new fire on Yantav because that is muksa. It wasn't here beforehand. The third shot is the Rambam. A little difficult how the Rambam reads our Gemara, but the Rambam says, Avalahamsi Eish on Yantif Asur, this is in Dalet Aleph, Shaharei Efshar Lahamsi Osa Miba Erev. Because you could have made the fire before Yantif, and it would have lasted. What does that have to do with Molid? What does that have to do with Nolad? Maybe Nolad wasn't here, could have done it. Right, the chiluk in the Gemara is only by Machshiri Yochel Nefesh, but this is the Shita of the Rambam, Efshar Lasosmi Bodyom, that's why the Rambam says you can't make a fire on Yantif. Again, Rova Poskim say that making fire on Yantif, a new fire, is an Issa Durabanan. There is a Taz that says it's Daraisa, and based on that stipler that we just mentioned before, maybe that works to say it's Daraisa, because it's not included in the Heter of Ochel Nefesh. But Rova Poskim say that it is an Issa Durabanan, and therefore, let's say you lit a fire, or let's say you go to somebody's house and you know they lit a fire incorrectly on Yantif, you're allowed to be Nana from that fire. Assuming it's an Issa Durabanan, that's when the Mishnah Berurah paskins. That if you go to some there's a shiloh about the second night of Yontif, where you get in the flame from. Let's say it was gotten in a way that is not acceptable to halacha. Whatever, we're not going to get into the details now, but whatever it is, then one could be Rabbi Nana from that, says the Mishnah Berurah, because Rova Poskim say it's only Issa Durabanan. Yeah.
Maybe it considers
fire Machshir Yochel Nefesh, any hole like the Ravid that Molad is Nolad. And therefore, it's an issue of muksa. It's not an issue of asiyas spira chadasha. Maybe that's what the Rambam says. There is a big discussion. Okay, we're not going to go into so many of the details. That was really in the postgame 60, 70 years ago, and that is turning on electric lights on Yantif. So it's so foreign to us to turn on lights. But again, it's a major discussion in the postgame because what are you doing when you turn on a light? Are you creating a new fire? Or are you just extending the current from somewhere else that's already on? So Rav Pesach Frank talks about this, and the Chazonish, and all those poskim from 50, 60 years ago have this whole discussion. Some of them say it's mutter. There's an Aruch HaShulchan that's not quoted in the Aruch HaShulchan, it's quoted in another Torah journal, and others that say that's a maker, they might be mutter, but either way, the Minhag Yisrael has accepted that Luchumra, to be Machmer in this case, so many poskim say that it's Osir Me'ikra Din, and again, my mother tells me that she remembers in her parents' door that there were some people that used to turn on lights on Yantif. So again, there are poskim that said that. But again, nowadays the Minhag Yisrael has been to accept a more machmir opinion. Again, but it's a lot of discussion here. The Chazon Ish says it's bone, right, against everybody else. Right, we discussed that a little bit in another shiur. But most of them, is it mavir or not? And if it's mavir, is it creating or is it extending? That's based on our Gemara. So that's the discussion about electric lights in those days. But again, the Minhag Yisrael has been to be hold like the Machmir Shit. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara ve'malam nesara afim. The Mishnah had said that the last line of the Mishnah had said you're not allowed to heat up tiles on Yantif in order to roast on them. I guess like they used to roast on very hot tiles, and you heat up the tiles, and then you roast on them. So you're not allowed to heat them up on Yantif. Ask the Gemara, Micah Ovid, what's the problem? What's the malacha with heating up tiles? Amr Rabbachana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Hacha Birafim Chadasha Maskinan. We're talking about new tiles, and Mipnei Shetzarech Labadkan. And the first time you use them, if you heat them up, they might not be strong enough. They might break when you heat them up. So you have to check it out before Yantif. to see, try it out to see if it would be okay. It would be able to hold the heat. Because if it breaks, Rashi says it'll be a tircha shlo litzarech, and therefore you have to check it out beforehand. Some people say it's not because they might break, but doing this to a new tile is really its gemar malacha. So you're being misaking it. You're completing its functioning as a kli, and that's why it would be a problem to use them. So tzarach labatkan or tzarach lachasman. Let's keep those two in mind. It's not hasam. The Mishnah says in Chulin, Mesechus Chulin, that section of Mesechus Chulin where we're quoting from deals with Yudches Treifus. Elu Treifus, one of the most challenging prakim in Shas. So there in Elu Treifus, there are many different types of treifos listed. What is a treifa? A treifa is a blemish, a mum in the animal, which Chazal assumes, again, this is one of the sugyas that you have to work out Chazal with medical science, but Chazal assumed that these treifos either wouldn't live out the year, or it is just halachically has the status of a treifa, and therefore even if you shecht this animal, it is considered a treifa and it is not kosher. A nevela is an animal that dies without getting shechita. A treifa is an animal that gets shechita, but it has a mum somewhere in its body, which prevent the heter shechita from taking effect. It gets a maisa shechita, but it does not have a heter shechita. They say that Reb Chaim's bar mitzvah drasha was if there's any connection between nevela and treifa. It's written in the Sefer about nevela and treifa, is the fact that it dies dying without shechita and no heter shechita. That was his bar mitzvah shetel. So if anybody wants to look that one up to use, feel free. It's not hasam. So the Mishnah there says, one example of treifa. Darsa osha tarfa bakosel osha mitzatzta behema. There is a treifa called risuk evarim, smashed limbs. And Rashi explains here, based on the Gemara there, this treifa is not visible from the outside. The limbs got smashed inside. But there are certain actions that are done to, let's say, a bird that you could assume that it has risuk evarim. So, for example, darsa, it was trampled on, oshetarfa bakosel, or the bird was thrown against the wall, oshibitzatz the behema, or some animal smashed it, umafar case, and now it is flailing on the floor. In all these cases, there's a chshash that it has the trefa of risuk evarim. So says the Mishnah, v'shoasa me'es l'es. What happens if it stays alive for 24 hours after this act took place to it, after it was trampled on? So it stayed alive for 24 hours, and then you shechted it. Kashera. It is kosher. It is kosher because it stayed alive for 24 hours. That's a raya that it is not a risuk evarim. And therefore, it doesn't have that trefa. Rabbi Elazar Bar Yana adds, Rishim Chadib and Rabbi Elazar Ben Antigonus, Tzricha Badika. Even though it lasted 24 hours, it still needs to be checked. Rashi explains here that yes, the psul of risuk evarim is gotten rid of if it stays alive for 24 hours. But there might be other psulim in this animal that you don't know about. Look what happened to it. There's a reyesa. There's a reyesa there, so even if it stays alive for 24 hours, it needs to be checked because there's a reyesa and maybe it has some other type of treifas. So, bait, what is this doing here? For the following. This type of animal, it's after 24 hours, so it doesn't have risuk evarim, but it might have other treifas. Are you allowed to shechlis on yantif? Why? Are you a machzik that there's a reyesa here? There's a reyesa here, there's a good chance, there's a probability that there's a treifa here, and if you end up shechting this animal, might not be able to eat it, because you're going to check afterwards if a treifa is there, and therefore, it's a tercha shalol tzarech, there's no heter of ochel nefesh, because you're not going to be able to enjoy it, right? And you might have to take that probability into account, and not shecht it in the first place. Kasha. Ask the Achronim, and Rebbe Kasha on this? Ask the Pnei Yoshua, ask the Tzlach and others, but what if you find it bad afterwards? So you'll find a treifa. It's heter ochel nefesh. What if you cook something and you don't end up eating it? So then you don't have a heter ochel nefesh? We even hold of hoil. Guess might come. Right? So you're allowed to cook in order for, even if you're not going to eat it. So here, what's the difference? So you might not be able to eat it because halakhically there'll be a treifa. So what's the difference? Ask the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yeshua even asks, remember a couple blad ago on Daf Chaf Hey, nine days ago, we had the case of Behema Misukenes. So Behema is about to die, you don't want it to die, therefore you're allowed to shecht it. Isn't that like a reyesa? So the Pnei Yeshua says, another Achronim say, no, the difference is there, you're right. There's a probability that it's bad, but you know what? Mishum Hefsin Mamon will allow you to rely on the roof. We'll allow you to rely on it, Hefsin Mamon. Your Behema is about to die. Here the animal's not going to die. It already stayed alive for 24 hours. So therefore what? You're not choshes that it's going to die now, so wait! Well, you don't have to. There's no pressure to shecht it now. So you're right. There's a chash, but there will allow you to do it mishum hefsin mama. But Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Micha Shlomo here on Beitza is quoted as follows. No, there's a big difference between regular, let's say, hoel guests might come versus this kind of case. What does heter ochel nefesh allow you to do if you have a suffik lahaba? You have a doubt about what's going to happen. You don't know if guests are going to come. You don't know if you're going to eat this. Then you have the heter ochel nefesh. But here, it's a suffik l'sha'avar. You don't know if this animal is a treifa or not now. That's different. You don't know if these tiles are fit to be used. That's a suffik l'sha'avar. That's not included in the heter of ochel nefesh, says Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman says, if you have a suffik right now, this is going to be usable. Not the suffik if guests are going to come. Suffik l'sha'avar, so that's not included in the heter of ochel nefesh. That's a chiddush of Shlomo Zalman, but it fits in perfectly to the Gemara. That's why, in these two cases here, the Gemara does not assume you have the regular heter. So anyway, ask the Gemara, are you allowed to shecht this animal on Yontif? So amalei tanina. So the Gemara says, we learned it in our Mishnah. You're not allowed to heat up the tiles to roast on them. And our Gemara said, what are you doing? What does our Gemara say? You're not allowed to heat up these new tiles because they might break. So too, you shouldn't be able to shecht this animal because it might be a treifa. So isn't that the case? Answers the Gemara, no. No, we hold like the other answer, that the reason you can't heat up the tiles is because you're fixing them. You're being mashlim their usage, and it's a tikkun issue, but maybe in regard to the bdika, we wouldn't say you have to be both they get. Therefore, there's no raya about whether you could shech this animal on yantif. Period.
Isn't any animal you shech the
suffix trait? So, Rashi quotes that our minhag is to check every animal afterwards for treifas. But that is a chumrah. Me'ikar, then we rely on the rov. Rov animals are kshayros. Rov animals are kshayros, and therefore you don't have to worry about treifa. You go by the rov. This animal specifically has a reyesa. It was trampled on. It was.
But still,
even though it lived 24 hours, that is enough to get rid of the psul of risuk evarim, because we have a mazar that risuk evarim treifa does not live within 24 hours. But there might be other psulim that was caused by this, not just risuk evarim, other visible psulim. But in general, Rashi quotes here that most animals are rov kasher, and that's why our minag lechumr is to check, but really we don't have to. There is a great Mordechai in Chulin, who quotes our Gemara as follows. It comes up halacha lemaisa. A first-time Moel, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, a first-time Moel should not be the Moel on Shabbos. First-time Moel should not do his first bris on Shabbos. Why? Because maybe he's going to cut a little extra. He's not perfect. You don't know if he's going to do it well yet. And therefore, he shouldn't do it. What's the Raya? Ar Gemara, Tzarech Labadkan. Tzarech Labadkan, says the Mordechai. You have to check out if the tile's going to work. You have to. So my brother, Baruch Hashem, has a couple of boys. So his first boy was born on Shabbos. So he was, you know, some fathers like to do the Mila. Not for me. My brother did it. And I'll make my shliach. But he was machmir for the shach, that you can't make a shliach for Mila. So therefore, he learned how to do it. But, punked Shabbos. So the other Moalim said, sorry. You never done a meal before. You can't do the first one on Shabbos. His second son was born on a weekday. Okay, so that's what he did on the weekday. But if you can't be the first meal on Shabbos, it's Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes this Mordechai in Truma Sadeshin in Reis Lamech Lavan Ilchas Mila. Mi Adam Shalomal Me Olam Lo Yamul B'Shabbos. Shema Yikalkel. Maybe he's going to mess up. Not just cut a little extra. Shema Yikalkel V'Nimsa Mechal Shabbos. V'Yim Kfar Mal Pamachas Mutter. V'Yafilu Imhu Aviv. Truma Sadeshin, etc. That is the Shulchan Aruch. Ask Rabbi Kiva Eger on that Shulchan Aruch, but what do you mean? What's the maskana? The maskana is the other reason. Tzorach lechasman, not tzorach lebatkan. The other reason is tzorach lechasman, so we don't have to worry. You should be able to do it. The Gemara suggested for the word suggested to have the raya for the other case. But what's the difference? So the Achronim say that maybe there's a difference. That still, even by Mila, still it would be more problematic than by Yantif. Because at least by Yantif, we have that Mincha Shlomo about the Ochel Nefesh. But generally, you're involved in something. Heter Ochel Nefesh, even if it turns out that it's a Treifa, it's not so bad. But here, it's Maisa, Achil Shabbos, Peshogeg. It's a Mamish Achil Shabbos. You know, what's the Heter? Okay, yeah, Biyom, Afilu, but if you know that you might not be able to do the Mila, maybe there's a difference between Shabbos and Yantif. That's what the Shvus Yaakov suggests here in Aleph Chav Gimel, where he discusses this chilek. He says, "Mikom akam iu di day avid on Yantif." Right there, he also talks about a shochet a first time shochet and shechtan yantif. That's what the tshuva is about. But he relates to this to the milah discussion. Okay, we're up to the two dots. Tanya, is milah hujer dechuyan Shabbos? That might be a machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban. You look at the first Tosfos in the Blazot de Milah on the end there, and then the Ramban there, where they discuss why don't. It talks about the bringing the knife. What about bringing the baby to the knife and not the knife to the baby? So in that discussion, it seems like maybe it's a machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban whether milah is hujer dechuyan. Okay, Tanya, echad hamevi esaor, echad hamevi esaitzim. Whether somebody brings, this is a Tosefta you see on the side on Shabbos. I'm talking about Shabbos. Whether somebody makes a fire, echad hamevi esaitzim, or somebody puts wood in the fire, all of these people are going to be chayav on Shabbos. So somebody brings the fire. What do you mean bringing the fire? So Rashi explains, you're bringing a charcoal, a burning charcoal to put down in a place. So that's chayav for mavir, because as you walk, the wind blows a little bit and the fire gets bigger, and therefore you're chayef for bringing a fire. Vechana maybe is eitzim, or if somebody throws wood on the fire, that is also aser da'oraisa for mavir. Vechad shoveis is akadera, or if somebody puts an empty pot on the fire, they're also chayef da'oraisa on Shabbos. Why? That one we'll see in a minute, in the Gemara. Vechad maybe is a mayim, or somebody who puts water in the pot on the fire on Shabbos, that's the malacha mavashel, right? You're cooking the water. Vechad nosim sochotavlin, or somebody who puts spices in the pot, you're cooking the spices. The echad magus, or somebody stirs. Somebody stirs what is on the pot. Kulam chayavim. All these people are chayiv. Why? What's a stirrer doing? What is a stirrer doing? This is the major sugya of magus. Stirring is that when I stir something, the items, the contents of the pot that are a little further from the fire get closer to the fire. That is called, in the language of the Rashba right here, kiruv bishulo. You are bringing bishul closer, and that is also daraisa on Shabbos. Daraisa on Shabbos, one is not only allowed to start a cooking process, but you can't even hasten a cooking process, and that is also a malacha daraisa of bishul. So, stirring, or putting a pot cover on something that's not fully cooked, and therefore you are raising the temperature in the pot. That's also aser on Shabbos, because that is kir bishula. The poskim point out, let's say you have an urn full of water on Shabbos that is not fully cooked. Reducing the volume of that urn, let's say taking some water out, so now there's less water in the urn, so it's going to cook quicker. According to some poskim, that's also kir bishula. Some say that's a grum up, but there are some poskim that say that that you should make sure that your water urn is boiled before Shabbos, because if it's not boiled on Shabbos, you might take some water out. That might lead to problems. But that is the issue of magus. The notes in the Rashba here quote all the poskim about magus, and that is first of all, number one, since it's an issue of bishul lechora, it applies where bishul deoraisa is still shayach. That's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. We've mentioned a number of times that the Rashba says after machol ben drusoi, after it's cooked a third or a half, so then there's no more bishul deoraisa according to the Rashba. So magus would only be prior to that. According to the Rambam, who we paskin like, the Rambam says, up until Mavushal called Sarcho, there's Bishul Daraisa. So therefore, if something is not fully cooked, let's say you put up your cholent, and before Shabbos, and you didn't put it up too long before Shabbos, you put it up 2 hours before Shabbos, so it's not fully cooked yet. So on Shabbos, I don't want it to burn, I'm going to stir it a little bit, I could be violate Bishul Daraisa. Forget Shehiyah Hachzara, that's all Durabanan. It could be Bishul Daraisa if I'm stirring a pot that is not fully cooked. And that, if it's not fully cooked, even if you stir it when it's not on the fire. Because that's a Kliri Sho, Shehusar Me'alayish, the rest of the cholent is going to be able to cook the part that's not cooking. That is all Magus. The Chiddush, and then we'll go on, the Chiddush is the Chiddush of the Kolbo. The Chumra, the Kolbo, that all the poskim quote, even though we might not understand the Kolbo, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, and all the poskim quote the Kolbo. What's the Kolbo? The Kolbo says that if it's a pot is on a fire, then even if it's fully cooked, you shouldn't stir it. Why? You're not being violating Bishul, Kir Bishulo. That's the Chumra of the Kolbo. Why it is, a couple reasons suggested, but we don't really understand exactly why, but that is the Chumra that has been accepted by Klal Yisrael. All the posts can quote it. And that is why, if somebody has a pot on a fire, even if it's fully cooked, one should not stir it, one shouldn't stir it on Yadav. You should take it off. Hopefully, if you lined the inside of your crock pot beforehand, you take it off, you hold it, you stir it around, then you can put it back on. So that is a chumra of the Kolbo to be magus on Yontif. If anybody wants more information, listen, we have five or six shiurim of Bishul B'Shabbos on the web. You can listen to more about the Kolbo on the website. There is an extension of the chumra, which the Shmir Shabbos quotes, which not everybody holds up, and that is, what about taking the pot, putting a pot cover on while it's on the fire? So is that, that's also is an example of kir bishulo. Let's say you want to just pick the pot cover of the chalent off, check how the chalent is cooking, get the aroma, and then put the pot cover on. So do you have to take the pot off and off? So the Shemir Shabbos set paskas like that extension. You can't, you, one shouldn't, l'chadchila at least, you should take the insert out, and then put the, and then take the pot cover off, put it back on, and then put it back in. That is the chumrah of the Shemir Shabbos, the extension of the kolbo. But not even if you hold of the kolbo, you might not hold of that chumrah. That's kir bishulo, but who says the kolbo said that every kir of bishulo has that chumrah that he said of magus? Either way, if you don't have a covered fire, then this is a chumrah of the kolbo. You can't take it out and put it back in. That's a realistic derabbanan to put it back on an uncovered fire. So then poskim say, you know, if you want to. Then you shouldn't be makhmer for the kolbo then, if you're not going to be able to put it back. Okay, so this is all. What does this have to do with anything? So let's see. Why was this brought here?
What does Rashi mean when he says the magus v'shul v'vashel sh'aku?
Right. So v'vashel meaning magus. What that v'vashel is also an amalacha. First of all, he might be saying not only v'vashel ofeh, because there the Mishnah says ofeh. So maybe ofeh and v'vashel. V'vashel is also an amalacha, or he's just emphasizing the magus. The magus is also the amalacha compared to the other items on the list. Two suggestions. Anyway, back to the Gemara.
So the Tos.
Is there a misayeya? No, each one doesn't need the other one. Each one is doing a separate malacha. Each one is doing a separate malacha. Says the Gemara. So all these people are chayiv daraisa on Shabbos. V'hotanya achrod chayiv kulam peturin. We have another braisa that says that only the last one is going to be chayiv and everybody else is going to be pater. So what case is that talking about? Lo kasha hada icr meikar hada icr lobasof. No, if you have a case where the person who brought the fire came last, so then only he's going to be chayiv. Because what happened? Person put wood, and then a pot, and then water, and then spices. Nothing's happened yet. And then stirred it. Nothing happened yet. So now, person lights the fire, so he's going to be chayiv. Because before that, nothing happened yet. So that's the answer of the braisa. Says the Gemara, Bishlamu kulukav in maisa. I understand all of them, what malacha they did. We explained. Elashoviz is a kadeir my kavid. But a person who puts an empty pot on a fire, what malacha is he doing? Amr Shimon ben Lakish, Hacha Begdira Chadash Askina. We're talking about a new Kedera, Umishum Liban Ra'afim Naguba. And you are being mashlim and strengthening this Kedera on the fire, and that's why it's usher, just like in our Mishnah, about Liban as Ra'afim. Right? This is called Mitzarif. We have the discussion of Mitzarif in Maseches Yuma, so this is the malacha that you're doing. Tanu Rabbanon. Next Tosafta. Back to actions that discuss Yantif. If somebody has a new oven, Tanner and Kiraim are two types of ovens. New oven in their chatzer on Yantif, then you can move them around. Right? They're not muksa. What were ovens in those days? Right? They were just like tubes that stood on the ground. You put a fire in the bottom of them, so you can move them around. You want to use it to cook over there. You want to use it to sit on. They're not muksa. Avalein sachin osam shemen, you can't smear oil on them. Vein tashin osam b'matlis, and you can't also smear with a shmata. Vein mefigur osam b'tzonin k'de l'chasman, and also you can't pour cold water on them in order to strengthen them. Because all these are really the finishing touches on the oven, and that is not allowed mishum ochol nefesh. Vein mishum lefos reize mutter, but if the whole point of pouring water on is to cool it off so your bread doesn't burn, so that's included in the heter of ochol nefesh, and therefore that would be mutter. Tanur Rabbanan, Molgan es harosh ve es haragalim. If somebody is removing the feathers, how do you remove feathers from a bird? So what do? You pour scalding water. So Molgan es harosh ve es haragalim. Somebody can be moleg. Maliga is plucking the feathers. So you can pluck the head and the raglaim and the feet of the animal. Umahavavin osan ba'ar, and singe the feathers with fire to try to get it off. Aval. But you can't wipe these different types of materials on the animal, because that, Rashi says, is derech ha'abdanim. It looks like you're doing the malacha of ibud. Ibud is preserving and doing something to the skin in order to keep it, one of the malachas. So that's an isa derabanan that one is not allowed to do it in that way. You're also not allowed to cut them, the feathers, with a scissors, because then it appears like you want the feathers. It appears like you're not doing it l'shem ochol nefesh. It looks like you want the feathers. You're also not allowed to chop up a vegetable, taking off the wilted, rotted leaves of the vegetable with the usual cutter that you cut it with from the ground. Because then people will think that you cut it from the ground, which is not mutter on Yantif, because that's kotzer. That's a malacha that could have been done before Yantif. So you're not allowed to use its regular cutter. Aval, misakun is akundis veso achbios, but you're allowed to prepare kundas and achbios, which Rashi explains are food items that require a lot of tircha, but even so, you're allowed to do it. Umasik and v'ofen bepurni, you're also allowed to heat up and bake in a purni, which is a large oven, which also is a lot of tircha, but still it's mutter. Umacham and chamin ba'antichi, and also you're allowed to heat up water in a large urn. The ain ofen bepurni chadash shem tifchas, but you're just not allowed to use a new one because, again, as we said earlier on the daf, it might break. Tana Rabbana, five lines to the bottom. Other items which are mutter mishum ochal nefesh or not. You're not allowed to use a professional fan in order to blow on the fire. Like you have these things that with two sides and you push down. Bellows. So you're not allowed to do that in order to blow into the fire to make it bigger. One is not allowed to use that on Yontif, because Rashi explains, because it looks like you're a professional artsman and artisan in this area, therefore it's inappropriate on Yontif. You can use a little straw to blow into the fire. And you can't fix the spit, or sharpen it, because again, that's machshirei ochel nefesh. Tana Rabbanan, emefatnes akana l'slos b'maliach, one is not allowed to chop a reed in order to roast on it. Like we said in yesterday's Mishnah, that you used to put on top of the griddle, they used to put another layer in order so the fish doesn't burn. So you're not allowed to make that on Yontif, because that is machshirin. Avol mefatnes ha'egos b'matlos, but one is allowed to wrap up a nut in a shmata, in a napkin, and you're going to bang it on the table in order to break open the nut, you don't have to be worried that the shmata might rip. Why not? Why don't you have to be worried? So Rashi here says, even if it rips, it's okay, because, how would you have finished the Rashi? Because, even if it rips, it's okay, because, Dover Shein Miskaven. I would have answered this, Dover Shein Miskaven. Dover Shein Miskaven. Sick gracious, if it's Vada going to happen. Dover Shein Miskaven. It might happen, it might not happen. That's what the Rabbi Kiv Eger says. Why didn't Rashi say that? The Golian Ashas here. Rashi says, you know why? Because it's not Korea Manas Litfar. Not Korea Manas Litfar. Why didn't he just say it's not Dovrishinim, it's the Dovrishinim Miskavein, it's not a Psikresha? Okay? So he's bothered by that question. He does not know why Rashi had to come on to say it's not Korea Amanas Litfar. Okay. There's an important stipler on this Rashi, but we'll try to finish, and then if we have time, we'll come back to the stipler. Okay, next Mishnah. The Yod Amar Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer has another kula. Just like in the previous Mishnah, he had a kula. He has another kula. Omid Adam Al Hamuksa Erev Shabbos B'Shvias. A person on Erev Shabbos. In Shvias. Why does Shvias make a difference? Because in Shvias, there is no Chi of Maestras. That's why he says, it's talking about Shvias here. Rashi says, it could have also given a case of other years where you already took off Maestra from your field. But either way, we want to come up with a case that you don't have to take off Maestra. The only issue in our Mishnah is Muksa. Not Chi of Maestras. There's no Tevel issue. That's why he says Shvias. So it's Friday afternoon on in Shvias. And a person goes to his field, the Omer, and says, Mikan ani ochel bachar. He could just point to his field and say, you know what, I'm eating from that area tomorrow. He does not have to designate specifically which part of the area, because Rashi explains, this mandamar holds Yesh Brera. Yesh Brera, that a later act, which becomes Mavurar, cleared up later, you can put that later fact back into the past, and that's called Yesh Brera. The Chacham Omer, no. Acha Yirshom B'Yomar Mikan V'Ad Kan. The Chacham say, no, you have to go and say specifically, from here to here, these are the items that I'm going to use tomorrow. So it's a machlokes between the Tanakama, Rebbe Elazar, who's Mako, and the Chachamim, who say you have to be more specific. The top Tosas here says, compare this Mishnah to the Mishnah we had earlier in the Masechta on Daf Yud, where we had a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel by the birds. Do you have to go in and designate? And Beis Shammai says you have to say, I want, you have to be actually touch them. That's Beis Shammai Shita, that LMK Nia Neami Bodyom, and he says, no, you just go Zevazani Notel. So Tosas on top points out that this Mishnah is more Mekel and more Machmer. Each Mishnah has a Kul and a Chumra. You might say animals are more Muksa, Bali Chayim or Chumr Tvei. That's why that Mishnah might be more Chumr. Or here, says Tosas, you were Maksem Midaito. Here you specifically put it out of your head. I didn't explain. What are you designating here? It's not stalks of wheat. What it's talking about here is, let's say you have drying fruits. You have Grogoris Vitsimukin. You have raisins that are drying, and you go there and you designate them to partake in on Yontif. So you have to either you could just say, I'm going to generally partake of them, or you have to be specific. But Tosa says, this Mishnah represents more of a Chumra than the Mishnah earlier in Daf Yud, because here Yudavka made them Muksa. You put them into this place called a Muksa to dry off. That's different than the birds, which you weren't Matcha B'Yadayim. So Tosa's on top compares this Mishnah and the Mishnah on Daf Yud, one case has more machmir. Each case has a kula and a chumr. Okay, Tnan Hasan says the Mishnah in Maisrus. Okay, just 1 minute hakdama on Maisrus. We mentioned again this hakdama a couple of I think last week when we spoke about Maisrus as well. Mida oraisa, the chiyuv of Maisrus only kicks in. When do I have to take off Maisrus from my field? Right when it grows. No, bikurim. The first you have to run and then put a ribbon. But when does the chiyuv Maisrus kick in? Mida oraisa, you need two things. Gemar malacha, it has to be completely processed. And number two, re'iyas p'nei abayis. That's to come into my house. That's to come into my silo. So those are the two items that I need for the chiyuv of maestros to kick in on a daraisa level. Midaraisa, before that occurs, I'm allowed to eat as much as I want for my field. It's not tevel yet. I don't take off my... The chiyuv of maestros don't kick in yet. Midarabanan, this is step two. The rabbi said, you know what? You can't eat an achilas keva, even though the chiyuv of maestros didn't kick in yet. Achilas arai, snacking, that's fine. But achilas keva, you're not allowed to partake in even before gemar malacha. Step two. Step three. Step three now is the Rambam writes in Hilchas Maaser and Gimel. Step three. The Chazal said that there are three things that are koveya for maestros. Meaning, even though we just said that achilas arai, snacking is mutter before the chiyuv maestros kick in, there are three things that if any of these six things occur, so then you're not allowed to eat even arai, because everything you eat right now is called keva. That's the third step, step three. Step one, mutter. Step two is Chazal said you're allowed to eat arai and akeva. Step three is there are six things that occur that if any of these things occur, so then you're not allowed to even eat arai. Two of those six are going to be discussed right now. Number one is Shabbos. On Shabbos, everything you eat is special. So whatever you eat on Shabbos has the status of achilas keva. Okay, that's a big, important hashkafic point also. But at least halacha, Shabbos is koveya lemaisrus. That's the lashon. That when Shabbos comes, so then any food that is, even though it did not have, well, we'll talk about gemar malacha, but Shabbos, any food that even if you were able to snack on it beforehand, right now you're not allowed to. Number one. Number two is chatzer. If you bring it into your yard, even though you haven't brought it into your house yet, it hasn't had re'iyas p'nei abayis, which is needed d'armaisa, chatzer is also koveya for maestros. Those are two of the four that are going to be discussed on this amud. Shabbos and chatzer. So now let's go with that background. Tanan Hasam says the Mishnah in Maestros. Again, every time you have a Mishnah in Zeraim in Shas, it's always exciting because Zeraim doesn't have Bavli besides Brachas, so you should always be excited about it. Tanan Hasam, Tinokos Shetamnu Te'enim Erev Shabbos. You have little kids who put Te'enim, who put figs in the ground from before Shabbos because they were going to they were saving them for a Shabbos party. They were going to have a Shabbos party on Shabbos. They were going to put getting these figs ready. V'shachachu v'lo isru, and they forgot to eat them and they didn't take off Maaser. But Motzei Shabbos lo yochlu elam kein isru. On Motzei Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat them until you take off Maaser. Why? Rashi explains because this food were designated even though they were ketanim. That's the chiddush here. They were tinokos. Even though they were ketanim, this food was designated for eating on Shabbos, and therefore they were hukfu for Maasers. That's what it says by Shabbos. V'tnan nami and again. So what do you see from that Mishnah? That Mishnah says you have figs, and you had, the assumption of the Mishnah is that you had gemar malacha for the figs. You already brought them into a pile. You just didn't bring them into your house. So gemar malacha and Shabbos, that's koveya for maestros, even though you didn't have riyas p'nei abayis. Next Mishnah, v'tznanami, hamav r'teinim b'chatzero uksos, if somebody brings in figs in their chatzir in order to just dry out, baruvu b'rebeso ochle mehen arayu p'turin. People from his family could still eat from them arai in a snacking way in their putter. Meaning what? There was no gemar malacha by these figs, right? You just laid them out to dry and you brought them into your chatzer. So what do you see from this Mishnah? That chatzer is not koveya without gemar malacha previously. Again, to summarize, daraisa, you have two requirements that you need. Gemar malacha, you have to finish the process, and re'iyas p'nei abayis, so bring it into your house. So we have two mishnayos that the Gemara just quoted. The first mishnah said that Shabbos, even after ingredient one, even after gemar malacha, then you have Shabbos, that's koveya for maestros. This mishnah says, by chatzer is not good enough. By chatzer, if you don't have gemar malacha, and then it's chatzer, so then it is not koveya for maestros. You still want to eat from it arai. So the Gemara says, what about the parallel case in Shabbos? Is Shabbos koveya for maestros even without gemar malacha? That's the question of the Gemara. By Meisr, by Chatzer, it's not. Remember we said Chatzer and Shabbos are two of the six things that are Koveya for Meisrus. So by Shabbos, we say Gemar Malacha, Shabbos after Gemar Malacha works. Chatzer without Gemar Malacha does not work. Does Shabbos without Gemar Malacha work? That's the question of the Gemar. Boy Minei Rav Amir of Nachman. Shabbos Mausha Tikva Muksa L'Meisr, but Darash Lo Nigmar Malachto. Does Shabbos say that the Chi of Meisrus kick in even though it did not have a Gemar Malacha at all? Mi Amrina, do we say Kivin Dechsev Karas V'Shabbos Oneg? Since the pasuk says in Shayon Nunches, that's how you remember it. Shayon Nunches. Nunches is Minucha, rest. Shayon Nunches is the makar for Kavan Oneg Shabbos. So Dechsev Karas V'Shabbos Oneg Kava. So since everything on Shabbos is called Oneg Shabbos, it's Koveya V'Yafila B'Davar Shelo Nigmar Malachto. And you would say that even by something that did not have a Gemar Malacha yet. Do you say that? O Dilma, or do we say no? B'davar shenigmar malachto kava, b'davar shelo nigmar malachto lo kava. Shabbos is no better than chatzer. They're both two of the six things that are koveya for meisrus. And just like meiser only works after you have one of the ingredients, meiser is only koveya for meisrus after you have meisrus. Chatzer is only koveya for meisros after you have gemar malacha. So too, Shabbos is only koveya for Meisrus after Gemar Malacha. So, what do you say? So, Amar Lei, so the answer was given by Rav Nachman, Shabbos Kovas, no, Shabbos is koveya, Bein B'davar Shenigmar Malachto, Bein B'davar Shelo Nigmar Malachto. Shabbos is koveya no matter what, even without anything. Amar Lei Ve'ema, Shabbos Dumi D'chatzer. Maybe I should say no. So, the Gemara is about to say the same thing in the next five lines. Maybe Shabbos should not be compared, should not be different than Chatzer. Ma Chatzer Eina Kovas, El B'davar Shenigmar Malachto, Av Shabbos Lo Tikva. Maybe Shabbos should be like just like Chatzir. Just like Chatzir requires Gemar Malacha, even though it doesn't require Rias Panei Abayas, so too Shabbos should require Gemar Malacha. How do you know it's different? Some are like, no. Limud Arechu B'Yadeinu. We have a Mesorah from our Rabbeim. Shah Shabbos Kavaz. Bein B'davar Shenigmar Malachto. Bein B'davar Shelo Nigmar Malachto. We have a Mesorah that even without Gemar Malacha, Shabbos is Koveya. And now, why is this all brought here? Because of the following. We know it from our Mishnah that Shabbos is Koveya, even without Gemar Malacha. How? Because what did our Mishnah say? What did our whole Mishnah say? That you could go stand next to your Muksa, next to your drawing out figs on Erev Shvius, and the whole issue in the Mishnah is a Muksa issue. Time of the Shvius to Labar Asurehu. The only reason in the Mishnah that there's only a Muksa issue and not a Meisrus issue is because it's Shvius, so there's no Chiyuv of Meisrus at all. Ha Bishar Shnei Shavua, Ha Chanami the Asur. But in other years of the Shemitah cycle, where there is a Chiyuv of Meisrus, hypothetically, so then you wouldn't be able to do this on Erev Shabbos. My timer, why wouldn't you be able to do it? There was no Gemar Malacha yet. Lav Mishum the Shabbos Kava. Isn't that because Shabbos is Koveya for Meisrus, even without Gemar Malacha? Says the Gemara, no Raya from our Mishnah. Lo, Shiny Hasam, Kivan to Amar Mikarani Ochel, Lamachar, Kava Le'ilave. Here, Roy Rashi explains it. It's a separate type of case. Because you said with your words, I want to eat from there, you were machshiv those food items. And that's another way you could be a koveya for maestros. Machshiv b'diburo. If you're machshiv a food item, we had the concept of achshavei earlier in Beitza, says Rashi on the first wide line. Ihu achshavei b'diburo. Shekara achila. Once you machshiv it with your words, so therefore, that is also a way to be koveya for maestros. Nothing to do with Shabbos. So says the Gemara then, so why does the Mishnah give a case of Shabbos? Ihachi, my Arya Shabbos, afilu b'chol nami. So what does that do with Shabbos, even on a weekday? This would be koveya for maestros, if it's just your words. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Hakamashmalah, but the Mishnah is telling you an added chiddush to Tevel Muchan who eats on Shabbos. That Tevel, even if something is muksa, is Tevel, is something that didn't have Shumas and Maestros taken away from it, and there is an Isser Durabanon to take Shumas and Maestros on Shabbos, still, it's not called muksa. It's Muchan for Shabbos. Why? Shim Avar Vizikno Mesukan, because if you did violate and take off the Shumas and Maestros on Shabbos or Yontif, it is fixed. We'll talk more about that concept at the beginning of Shir tomorrow, but there's two other points that are brought up on this daf. There's a major Machlokas Aposkim, is Yontif Koveya for Maestros? Shabbos is Koveya for Maestros. But what about Yontif? Shabbos has Oneg. Yontif has Simchas Yontif. That's a major machlokas aposkim. The Meiri here discusses it, whether Yontif is Koveya for Meisrus, number one. Number two, there's a Shulta Giborim, which we don't paskin like. But the Shulta Giborim says, what does it suggest in our Gemara? That Bekarasa L'Shabbos Oneg, and therefore the fruit are Nikva for Meisrus. Says the Shulta Giborim, you're allowed to use fruits for Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Why? Because you see from our Gemara says fruit is Kvius. is Kaveh Lamaisris. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in that way. The Shulchan Aruch says you need either Chala or Mizonos. Right? And the Gra, the Machlokes, the Gra and the Gaonim. The Gaonim say you can have Mizonos. The Gra says you have to have Chala. Is it did in the Kiddush? Is it did in the Seuda? We mentioned back at the end of Masechet Pesachim. But either way, so the Shulchan Aruch says, from our Gemara, you know, maybe even fruit, but that is Delok, Alibet the Hilchasa. We require either Chala or Mizonos. Okay? We'll stop here, and maybe that stipler we'll get to at a later date.
Also, if you accept this principle of greater, you can actually take masses after Shabbos. You don't Shabbos, mm-hmm. but there's a greater and after Shabbos.
Correct.
You could say,
correct.
But it doesn't.
Well, this is just, we're not even related. You could just say, I'm going to.
Of course, you could do that with a chilo.